Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that means to get back to the truth of the Bible, the whole Word of God, everything that it talks about, and especially to focus in on what is necessary for salvation. Christianity in the world does not represent the truth. They have some truth, but some truth is not all the truth. And we need all the Word of God to bring us all the truth. Now, why is it necessary for blood to be shed because of sin? And when was that first known? Well, it's necessary because God has given free moral agency to everyone. We have to choose whether we will love God and keep His commandments and obey Him and do what the Bible tells us. And that's precisely why we have the Bible written, so we can have it and know. Not based on the oral traditions of men, which get all cattywampus and upside down and take away from going God's way. Jesus said that the traditions of men reject the commandments of God. So you need to think about that. The next time, if you go to church on Sunday, which you might also examine the day, whether that's the day that God intended or not, which it's not, why do men put traditions over the Word of God? Well, it's because the carnal mind. Now, that's a very interesting thing. Let's see something about the natural carnal mind and why all people sin. It says all of sin come short of the glory of God. We'll see that in a little bit. But what is it about human nature? What is it about our choices, because we're responsible for them? And God has given His Word so that we know what it is. But it's just like the law of the land. How many criminals out there know what the law is? Well, all of them. Well, do people know all the laws of God? All based on the Ten Commandments? Yes, they do. But do they still break it? Yes. And a lot of them think they can get away with it. You know, there's that television series, I Almost Got Away With It. Well, it's the same way with God. You cannot fool God. You cannot go against God and succeed. People go against God because they want to do what they want to do. Now here, Romans 8 and verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, and the wages of sin is death. And that gives us a clue as to why there needs to be shed blood. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, and that is those who have repented, come under the blood of Jesus Christ, been baptized, and received the Holy Spirit. Now notice verse 7. But the carnal mind, that's the mind that we have without the Spirit of God, is enmity against God. Now, that means hostile. Can a person still be nice and be hostile to God? Yes. They can say, well, you know, God may have said that, but I disagree with it. When people disagree with God, are they right or are they wrong? Let's ask another question. Is God perfect? Yes, he is. Since he's perfect, that means he's never wrong, correct? So let's take it one step further. With the traditions and practices of men, which we get into, which they claim are from God, they put over the commandments of God, who is perfect. That's how the carnal mind works.
Hello, I'm Ian Neal. I'm church warden here at St. Mary's Parish Church and also chairman of the Christmas Tree Committee. We think we have the largest Christmas tree festival in the country. This year, we've done a tally and we have just under 900 trees of one size and another, ranging from about 1 inch up to our 18-foot church tree.
So let's continue on and see why, then, we need forgiveness, the blood of Christ, his sacrifice, for the forgiveness of our sins. And did you know that goes clear back to the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve? They chose to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God said, you shall not eat of it. So let's go back there and look at that, because the one who also inspires the carnal mind is another one in the world called Satan the devil, that ancient serpent, who is deceiving the whole world, and that's what the Bible tells us. So you might ask yourself a question. Am I deceived? And if you don't think you are, then why is it that you don't like the commandments of God? All right. So the serpent comes along with a lie. So let's read here Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, is it true, God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? A lie. And we find in John the 8th chapter that Satan the devil is the father of lies. And the woman said, we may freely eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God indeed has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So here's the origin of the carnal mind, because Satan rebelled long before man was created. The serpent said to the woman, in dying, you shall not surely die. Now, let's just stop here for a minute. This is the first instance in the Bible, long before the philosophy of men, that human beings have an immortal soul. Now, do you believe that human beings have an immortal soul? Did you know nowhere in the Bible it says that? So this is why we have church at home. We get into the Bible and we analyze it verse by verse and word by word to see what God has said, because God is God. The serpent continues, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be like God, deciding good and evil. A lie. You can decide for yourself what is good, what is evil. Freedom of choice. Independent, free moral agency, which is God has given to everyone. So we must choose. And human nature always chooses the wrong thing, just like here. Now then, when she took of the fruit and was eating it, was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, not to know truth, but to know evil. And remember this, God is the only one who decides what is good, what is evil, what is right, and what is wrong. Now, you look at the world today. You think the world's in trouble? You think there are a lot of problems and difficulties out there? Yes, indeed. And that's because all human beings have sinned, have a nature that is contrary to God, and need redemption and forgiveness. Now, nowhere does it show that Adam and Eve repented. So, therefore, God judged them, sent them out of the Garden of Eden, but he also, and here's the first prophecy, of the death of the one who would be the Savior of the world, who was 4,000 years after this event, called Jesus the Christ. And as we saw last time, he was the God of the Old Testament. He was the God of creation. And so when you read in the Old Testament about the Lord God, that's the one who became Jesus Christ. When you read about the Most High, that's the one who in the New Testament is known as the Father. So here's what God told them. Verse 11, he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Now let's see human nature in action. Because human nature, when sin occurs, becomes very deceptive. And this comes straight from Satan the devil. So let's read it. "And the man said, 'The woman.'" You always got to blame someone else. And you look at those whose lives are really sinful. They always blame someone else, right?
Nigel Sykes is suing the pizza place he robbed, six employees who were there at the time, and the two police officers who arrested him. What's interesting is that the police report from 2010 and Sykes' current complaint say a lot of the same things. Sykes went into a Seasons Pizza in Williamton, Delaware, showed a handgun to employees, and was handed $140 from the register. As Sykes was trying to leave, two employees wrestled him to the ground and took his gun. This is when, according to Nigel Sykes, he was unarmed and defenseless and had to suffer a brutal beating by all of the employees of Seasons Pizza. Police say at the time of his arrest, Sykes was linked to eight other robberies and facing 51 charges. Now he's suing the employees and arresting officers for $20,000 each, and Seasons Pizza for $100,000, for a total of $260,000. Seasons Pizza corporate execs say everything that happened was sparked by Nigel Sykes robbing the store at gunpoint, and the Newport police chief says it's a joke lawsuit.
God holds each one of us responsible for our choices. "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." So what is he really saying? He says, "God, it's your fault." It wasn't God's fault. He told him, don't eat. Verse 13, "So the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' And the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed above all livestock and above every animal of the field. You shall go on your belly, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman.'" And notice in verse 15, "And the seed," this is a prophecy of Christ, "he will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is a prophecy of the coming crucifixion. that the one who was God, because of sin, that he would have to die. Very interesting scripture in Revelation 13:8. It says, the Lamb of God, that's Christ, slain from the foundation or the beginning of the world. So God knew what was going to happen. He understood that this was necessary. Now Adam and Eve sinned. Death comes to all human beings because of that sin. That's why we die. The Bible tells us that in Adam all die, but in Christ, through the plan of salvation of God, all will be made alive. So keep that in mind. And to the woman he said, verse 16, I will greatly increase your sorrow in conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children. And that means ongoing after they are born too. Because that's just the nature of mothers. Your desire shall be toward your husband, and he shall rule over you. And that's the way God said it. And that's the best way. No other way has ever worked. Now, it might work temporarily because of extreme circumstances, but God's way is best. Now, notice what he said to Adam. And here's a Bible proof that sin changes the environment. Notice what God told Adam. And to Adam he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree instead of listening to me, of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, the ground is cursed for your sake. Now, little sidebar. Whenever there is a great deal of sin in any land, anywhere in the world, the balance of nature is all upset and upside down. All of the plans and works of men are not going to change it. During the days of Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, oh, I weep because of all the adultery and sins of the children of Israel. The wilderness is burning up. Have you seen California lately in the news? What do you suppose is the greatest problem with California? They're all breaking the commandments of God and following the way of sin.
There have been nearly 5,000 fires in California since the start of 2018. The fire season has been dominating the news.
This has turned into another record-setting fire season.
Now the largest in state history.
Really, there's no end in sight.
It's hot, it's dry, it's windy. Just about everything on the ground is flammable. But there's one thing that's consistently making wildfires in California worse and worse and worse. Us.
Now, there's some in the mix who are trying to do good. But even though they are, they still have to come to God to have their sins forgiven, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, it's going to bring forth thorns and thistles, and you shall eat of the herbs of the field, and in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. And then God had a sacrifice of two goats. Now, why did he do that? He did that so that their sin of wrong choice would be covered, and they could still come to God at the east entrance of the Garden of Eden. They were thrust out of the garden because of their sin. But they could still come to God at the east entrance of the Garden of Eden and meet with him on specific times. Now, a little sidebar here. When you really understand how the tabernacle and temple were set up, it was set up so that they would come to the east gate facing west. Now then, because of their sin, let's come clear forward. The Bible shows all the way through the problems with sin, the blessing of obedience, the needing to choose what is right and good, etc. Let's come all the way forward to the book of Romans so that we understand why then we need the forgiveness of sin and why then it takes the blood of Jesus Christ, who is God manifested in the flesh. Why his blood? Well, let's think about that for a minute. He came into flesh as we saw. And since he's creator of all mankind, his death can cover the sins of all human beings. However, they have to repent. See? Now, let's come here to Romans 3, and let's see not only the condition of mankind and why there needs to be repentance and why it needs to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, you think about your life, and you think about what you have done, and you look at the commandments of God, and you will see that you have sinned, because sin is the transgression of the law. And the law has never been done away. Now let's pick it up here in verse 3, Romans 3. And this is talking about the Jews. And at that time, the only oracles of God were the books of the Old Testament that God had given to Israel and to the Jews. And so there was an advantage to them if they would follow what God has said. Just like with any others, the laws of God are an advantage to you if you obey. So he writes here in verse 3, "But what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? May it never be." In other words, God is perfect, God is righteous, God is holy, God is eternal. His way is true and true and true all the way through. Regardless of the opinions of men, regardless of the opinions of Satan the devil. Rather, let God be true and every man a liar, exactly as it is written. Now, the rest of this verse becomes very important. Because every human being has an opinion about God or a God or gods or the lack thereof, don't they?
And it's my view that the simplest explanation is there is no God. No one created the universe, and no one directs our fate. This leads me to a profound realization. There is probably no heaven, and no afterlife either. We have this one life to appreciate the grand design of the universe. And for that, I am extremely grateful.
Regardless of what men say, it's not going to change God. Exactly as it is written, that you might be justified in your words, because they're always true, and might overcome when you are being judged by men. In other words, what men think about God, or the lack thereof in their minds, doesn't change God. But what it does, it brings the consequences of sin upon them. That's what he writes in verse 5. But if our unrighteousness brings it to reality, God's righteousness, it does. The contrast between sin and death, righteousness and life. Between lies and deception and truth and righteousness. Is God unrighteous to inflict his wrath? I'm speaking according to man's view. May it never be. Otherwise, how shall God judge the world? Now, did God judge the world because of horrible, corrupt sin with the flood? He flooded the whole world. Not just a little bitty part in a valley. The whole world. And that's evident with the geologic demonstration that there was a universal flood. It was true. Was God unrighteous to do that? No. He was righteous because men at that time had developed such evil they corrupted everything. Everything they did was wrong and evil and corrupted. Now, a little sidebar here. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah before the flood, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That is, the days leading up to his return. And that is exactly true. See, because no one, regardless of thought, regardless of intention, can go against the word of God and succeed because it's sin. May it never be. Now then, come back here to chapter 1. And the book of Romans is written in such a way that of the first 8 chapters, each chapter builds upon another. Let's pick this up for the next segment. Because once we get into this, this will describe the world that is today, every civilization that has come down through history, what it was before the flood, and how men's ways, going against God that seemed right to them, causes sin and death and destruction and wretchedness as we see today. Now, God is calling some few out of the world if they choose his way by repentance and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you need this booklet, Why Christianity is Failing in America. Very revealing. And once you understand that, you need this book, Lord, What Should I Do? Do you know what you should do? Do you know what God is requiring of you to do? This book will show you God's way. Then we have another book, and all of these will send to you without cost, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. And this will explain in great scriptural detail why Jesus Christ, the Lord God of the Old Testament, had to come in the flesh miraculously the way that he did, and to die for the sins of the world. So you write in for those, you can email us, we'll send them to you, no cost. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.